Hello, everyone!
Hello! Why do you always start?
Because what I really want to do, in a very self-serving and selfish way, is I want to make a compilation at the end of me. In every episode, I go, hello, everyone! Literally in the same way, and I just want to jam it all together for the series and put it on at the end.
Wow. What a treat.
So now I've told everyone the plan.
What a treat for all the listeners out there.
I know. We should probably do the, you know... Welcome to
Okay, yeah, here we go.
Ready? 3, 2. Welcome to the show.
That was good.
You didn't even try.
No, we did. I that sounded quite together for me, from my end.
Oh, no, you've got lag. Oh no, that was so bad.
Was it?
Well, maybe it was. Oh, well, we'll find out. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I am good.
Yeah.
I mean, been super busy actually. I've been super busy for lockdown standards, not for like normal life standards.
Yes, you are undertaking something quite exciting, aren't you?
Yeah, relatively exciting. Yeah,
Are you allowed to say?
Well, of course I'm allowed to say. It's not like it's everyone listening is going to think that is something massive. I've applied to be a vaccinator for the NHS, and I've been undertaking my training for the last few days. It's been intense. I've been sitting through biology lectures about vaccination and the immune system and what it does. It's been interesting, definitely. But I did a degree in music, so for my brain, it's massive overload, but it's been interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you're essentially going to be saving lives.
Well, so. Let's not be too dramatic about That's it. I mean, cool. I'll be doing my part. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Hey, look, that vaccine could save someone's life.
Good.
There's
no two ways
about it.
No, that's true. Yeah. How are you?
Tomorrow is my birthday.
It is your birthday tomorrow.
The big 26.
You are officially you will be closer to 30 than you are to 20.
I know. I don't know. How I feel. I feel like the people who are older than me are probably listening to me like, oh, shut up. But like, funnily enough, the people younger than me are probably going, geez, that's a lot. So like, it's a weird one. I'm more just like, I can't believe that last year you came along to it. And I think you gave everyone Corona. But last year I had, you know, a big old birthday. For me, it's kind of mad that we're a year on and I'm now having to have a birthday in lockdown, but you know, it's okay. I'm feeling all right. It's gonna be nice. I'm gonna have a chill day. My sister says that we're gonna go get a cake, so I'm off to get a cake.
Where from?
Which is cool. I don't know. She was like, keep the morning free. I was like, okay, why? She was like, we're getting a cake, so that'll be fun.
That's good.
I'll let you know next week if it's any good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you can let me know earlier than next week. We are friends, Tom.
Well, you know, colleagues.
Oh, wow. We're just colleagues now. And we should say hello to everyone who's listening, like, around the world. It's mad.
Yeah, all around the world. I mean, 41% are you in the US?
Yeah.
Hi. How are you?
I've never even been to America.
See, I'm lucky. I've got family over there. Mm. And I went over again this time last year. I was on my way to New York.
That's true. You were.
Thing with Goodspeed. So... It's, oh man, it's just crazy.
Anyway, shall we get into the show?
Yes. Okay. So, what letter do we have this week, Geddy?
C!
Yes. This week is, of course, C. Because I'm sure the listeners are able to do the alphabet. I love how every week we're like, ooh, it's C! Surprise! even though we are methodically making our way through the alphabet. I always announce it, so here you go. Give it your best.
Oh, thank you. Big moment. This week, we will be doing the Rodgers and Hammerstein classic, Carousel.
See, I didn't believe that. I didn't believe you were excited. I didn't believe you. Come on.
I did kind of seize up as soon as you said it was my go.
Yeah, you did. I saw it as well. Very, like, I mean, they can't see it, but I saw you. Don't worry, it's okay. Just listen up.
Be relaxed.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're friends.
Goosey goosey, baby. Okay. Colleagues.
We're colleagues.
This week we're doing Rodgers and Hammerstein's classic Carousel.
Yes.
Woo!
Lovely. Yeah, that was great. You know, if you're going to be a Carousel Barker, you gotta yeah. have a bit of bit of energy behind that voice. Carousel.
Absolutely.
No, I'm gonna make a confession here.
Oh,
confession
dear.
Time. I was against this. Oh, I wasn't against it. I just thought we should do something that's not so old. You know, I wanted to do something a bit more current, even though 9 to 5 was out, but that was like a revival. But I literally just finished watching the film about like half an hour ago. Oh my gosh. Crying like a little baby.
Yes. Yeah,
it's heavy. And it is brilliant. It's really, really good. And I'm so glad that we're doing this because it was amazing. Honestly, I'm so surprised. Mm. Although not surprised because it's famous for a reason. But But yeah, I'm now basically in a long roundabout way, I'm saying I'm very excited that you convinced me to go with this. Pardon the pun.
Oh yeah. Oh, hello. I thought, you know, if we're going to do a musical theatre podcast, we have to do a Rodgers and Hammerstein at some point. And we have to do it at some point pretty soon. You know, they're absolute gods of musical theatre, aren't they? They're huge,
yeah.
Humongous. I mean, literally, Oklahoma changed everything. It changed everything.
Yeah. I mean, I reading about it, I mean, I think the number of times changed musical theatre and, you know, iconic musical theatre and all these kind of phrases that we used, pioneers was used a lot. Was actually really quite amazing. So okay, so every week one of us has to do the plot in 30 seconds, although we've sort of said that that's not a very long time. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to try 45 seconds this week, okay? Especially since this, you know, this show is what, 2 hours, like 10 minutes, and actually ran in at crazy times when it first came out. Okay, Geddy, I'm going to give you 45 seconds. And
45 seconds? What's
45
that?
Seconds. I don't know what I'm seeing me. I don't know what that was either.
Good Lord. Okay. Alrighty then.
Alrighty then. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
It's 1873 Maine. Julie and Carrie have gone to a carousel where they meet Billy. Billy is fired by Mrs. Mullin, his boss, because he's jealous with how he's being with Julie. Carrie wants to be engaged to Enoch Mr. Snow. She sings a whole big song about that. Julie is then fired on her way home because she refuses to be walked home by Mr. Bascom. Julie and Billy then get married, and a month later they're living with Nettie. Billy, it turns out, has hit Julie a few times and is being rude to her with his mate Jigger, and then they leave the party. Enoch tells Carrie he wants lots of children. Billy then decides to help Jigger to do a robbery. Enoch catches Carrie with Jigger, and then they break up. Julie finds a knife on Billy, but he goes to do the robbery anyway. The robbery fails and he stabs himself. Julie then gets there in time, and then she's very upset and she sings a song about it. Billy then goes to heaven, needs to help his daughter. He steals the star. He then finds his daughter, stops being invisible, gives her the star. She refuses it. He slaps her. Then at graduation, he's invisible again, whispers to her, and then Billy goes to heaven. Everything's all happy again.
Okay, so that was 50, almost 58 seconds.
Oh, good Lord. Goodness. I missed so much as well.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough, it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
It's funny though, right? Because I want to say something about this. Because with these epic shows, it's the same with Oklahoma, right? Mm. You know, we did 9 to 5 and Anything Goes, and the plot for them is mad. Like, it's a bit mad. Anything Goes, I mean, the plot changes every time it's put on, especially when it's going to be on at the Barbican from the... I've forgotten the dates, actually. You know, looking at these huge, successful shows with, like, you know, they've got those epic ballets in the middle, and they are, like, 2 hours and 20 minutes, 2.5 hours. Actually, the plots are really simple, you know. But I think that's why they work.
Mm.
Because they're just, they're simple, but because of that, it's all character driven and you care, like, well, you'll never walk alone when she's singing it to him and he's just stabbed himself. I mean, gosh, I got very emotional there. Got very emotional indeed. But that's because nothing really much has happened, but I care so much about the characters and what they're going through.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's true. It is true. I mean, it was adapted from a play, wasn't it?
Yep.
Hungarian play, Lilium, 1909 by Fred. What's his name? Ferenc Molnár.
Yeah.
I don't speak Hungarian. Molnár? I don't know. We don't speak Hungarian, but something like that.
Yeah. What does Lilium mean?
Well, it was a Hungarian what do you call them? Not nickname, but kind of nickname. Like exactly.
Like hard man.
And this guy who wrote this play turned down Giacomo Puccini to turn it into an opera, and he turned down Kurt Weill to turn it into a musical.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to be recognised for it. That just shows you how good Rodgers and Hammerstein are.
Well, it's amazing, isn't it? Because what did they... they were really worried. Well, they actually... You know what's hilarious? They turned it down, didn't they? Their producers wanted them to turn it into a show, and they said no, because it's too depressing. Because this is like just... during the war, like the final years of the war. And they were like, no one's going to want to watch that. It's too sad. And then eventually they got talked round to it. And then, but then they were, they went from that to being really worried that he would say no.
He wouldn't like it. Yeah.
And
yeah,
he wouldn't like their idea. And then he saw Oklahoma and he said, if you can make anything as beautiful as that, then
you
go
can
for
have it.
It.
Just shows you how good they are, man. That is awesome. And then they had all these like ins and outs with him as they were developing the show about, can you change the plot? Can we change this? Can we put this here? Can we put that there? And apparently, and by all means, forgotten the bloody phrase now. By intents and purposes, he was just okay with it because it was them, essentially.
Yeah,
and like
yeah,
he turned up to he turned up to a rehearsal, which Rodgers and Hammerstein both said was terrible. And they were really scared to go and talk to him afterwards. And they were like, he walked up to them and he was just like, this is great. Like, keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he kept coming to rehearsals to watch them develop the show. I mean, that just shows you how good they were.
What I love is how, I mean, they were so worried about doing the second show, weren't they? Because Oklahoma was such a hit. They almost kind of wanted to put it off for as long as possible. Because everyone would, no matter what they did, was going to compare to that. And I think, I can't remember who it was, but a producer said to them, came up to Rodgers after Oklahoma and said, you might as well shoot yourself. Shoot yourself now, because you're never going to do anything as good as that. Which, you know, just gives you an idea of the magnitude of what they did. But but then I read another review saying that Carousel was the best musical of the 20th century.
That was in Time magazine, wasn't it?
So they must have done something right.
It must have done something right. Yeah. I mean, have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen Carousel? Apart from the film.
Yeah, I just watched it. No. But I loved the film. I thought it was really good. And actually, I thought his rendition of Soliloquy was really good. Because I've watched a few of them, and I thought his was, like, bang on. Mm. Bang on!
You've never seen it on
No,
stage.
I wanted to watch Alfie Bowe do it, but I couldn't find it anywhere.
Oh, at the Coliseum, 2017.
Yeah, with Catherine...
Jenkins,
yeah. Because I wanted to hear him do Soliloquy.
Yeah,
But no, couldn't find it anywhere. I could just watch the curtain call. So just watched three videos of Alfie Bowe coming out to bow with Catherine Jenkins. And I was like,
so weird.
This is not what I'm looking for. It said, Alfie Bowe carousels. Oh, great. On each one, it was just him bowing.
And yet you kept watching it.
Well, yeah, because I missed theatre. I just missed theatre, so I was that.
Okay. And everyone stops laughing instantly.
Yeah. way to kill a mood, Tom.
Yeah.
It's time for this week's quiz. This week's quiz is called Soliloquiz. Okay, so... Okay, so every week, Geddy and I quiz ourselves on the show. That's wrong.
Quiz ourselves?
That's wrong. Not right. Every week, Geddy and I quiz each other on the show, and we tot up the scores every week. And the person who has the highest score at the end of the series will be bought a ticket by the other person to a show of their choice. The scores on the doors are 6-6.
Mm.
6-6. Tied. So it's pretty close. Pretty close.
Pretty close. Going. It couldn't be any closer.
It's pretty close. They're the same. They're the same score. Oh, dear.
Oh, wow.
You could say they are identical.
Yeah. It's neck and neck. That's how close it is.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't know who went first last week, but...
It doesn't matter. Really.
You quiz me first.
You sure? Yeah, okay.
Go on.
All right. Well, yeah. Then, cue the heartbeat. Jean Casto, the original Miss Millen, recalled that the opening at tryout in New Hope...
Go on, I believe. It's hard, isn't it?
It's so
2 weeks off and we're just useless.
Jean Casto, the original Miss Millen, recalled that the opening tryout in New Haven, Connecticut, on March the 22nd, 1945, finished at about what time?
1:30 a.m.
Mate! Yeah. Smashed it. It's almost like you read the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, I know, right? It's almost like I've done my research.
Oh, mate, yeah.
Well, you know, I quite like to get a free theatre ticket. I sort of, today I was doing the research and I was like, oh man, you know, actually, I would like a free ticket.
Actually, I would quite like Geddy to pay for me to go to the theatre.
Yeah, I was like, so maybe I should actually like put some effort into this.
But 1:30 is so late.
So that was the time the curtain basically came down.
On the first and ever performance, yeah.
That is insane.
That is so late. That's 6 hours.
I mean, what?
At least.
I'm guessing it started at a normal time.
Yeah.
Like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that now?
I mean, what do you do? And then they stayed after.
Mm. To cut it.
Yeah.
And
which is just.
It's amazing to hear about that, isn't it? Like, or to read about that when they're just basically like, I've never seen anyone be so ruthless and so efficient in anything in all my life. There was no. Like, you know, heartache. There was no trying to stop the things they loved most from going. It was literally right. That's gone. That's gone. That's gone. Go to bed. How cool is that? Yeah. That's so cool.
But I guess if it's the first time you feel you can, you put it in front of an audience, you can feel all those moments.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
So they must have just gone, no, that's not working. I'm not feeling anything here. Let's just get rid. Especially when you've got like 6 hours worth of material. to work with.
Yeah.
You can afford to be ruthless. In fact, you have to be, really. Okay, my question.
Mm.
QRB. How many performances did it run for on Broadway from 1945?
That would be 890 performances.
Correct.
Thank you.
890 performances.
Mm. 2 years, wasn't it, almost? I think it was closed sometime in.
Yeah.
Yeah, over. Just two.
How long did Oklahoma run for? And that's me asking you. I don't know.
That is a good question. And if you give me 2 seconds, I could tell you. I could tell you, son. Here we go. Let's have a look.
Because were they running at the same time? I'm guessing they were.
Well, no. Oklahoma was 1943. I know that. So.
Yeah, but was it still going?
Oklahoma ran for 2,212 performances. My goodness. So let's have a look how long that is in terms of years. The original Broadway, 1940, yeah, closed in 1948, yeah. So yeah, they were running concurrently.
Because they brought over the guy who played, I can't remember his name, that's really bad.
You, remembering names?
The guy who played Billy Bigelow, they brought over to audition for Curly, and then they heard him sing and were like, oh, wow, okay, well, he'd be great to originate the part.
Oh, yeah. This is the guy that... got the part on the back of his warm-up, right? He was singing Barbara of Seville or something classical in his warm-up, and then just got the part based on that, I think. That is absolutely mad. Could you imagine getting a part based on a warm-up and not the audition these days? That's the dream. The dream.
I bet he was really annoyed.
You think he was annoyed?
Well, imagine Yeah, imagine he's like, oh, I've prepared all this stuff and I don't even get to sing it.
Tom, would you be annoyed if you got given the part after your warm-up in an audition room?
Well, to celebrate, I'd be like, can I sing? And then imagine if they're like, oh, actually, on second thoughts, maybe not.
Imagine that.
God, that'd be heartbreaking.
That would be heartbreaking. I bet it's happened. I bet that's happened to someone out there at some point. My second question then. Thomas Ling.
Yeah.
How long is it understood to have taken Richard Rodgers to write the 8-minute long song Soliloquy?
2 hours.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, correct.
Yeah, it was 2 hours. So Hammerstein gave him the lyrics. And didn't he say initially he struggled? And then he was just like, boom.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think this like occurs quite a lot in like writing mythology. You hear stories of Hammerstein giving Rodgers lyrics and then him being stuck. And then an hour later, he's written some of the most well-known songs of all time in musical theatre. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a nice little legend, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, 2 hours to write an 8-minute song like that.
But then
2 hours. That's not fair. That's cheating.
I mean, that can't be the whole. That's the piano. That's the piano bit, isn't it?
Yeah, but someone like Rich,
the whole orchestration.
No, but he will have. But people like that, I imagine, write it with that in mind. Do you know what I mean? They can hear it, so they write it down.
Yeah. Okay. So, I ask you now. That's how this works.
Yeah, you do ask me. That's how this works and has been working for 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Okay. Heartbeat. Where was Carousel originally intended to be set?
Oh, that's a good question.
Where was it originally intended to be set? I'm going to give you 5 seconds.
Are you?
4, 3.
I'm going to just have to say Maine. I only ever read Maine anywhere. I don't remember seeing anything anywhere else about it.
Wrong answer! That was the wrong answer. That was the wrong.
Thank you.
Wrong answer. Louisiana.
Was it?
Yeah,
they tried to set it
in Louisiana, but Hammerstein.
Ah.
And probably Rodgers agree, but Hammerstein said that the way the accent works out there just wouldn't work for his lyrics. I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
Really?
Yeah, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something
along
those
lines. That is
so
interesting.
He didn't like the way the dialect worked for his lyrics. So then they were like, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Rodgers, maybe, had the idea of setting it in New England.
Bam. Yeah, I know that bit. Carousel. I know because he owns a house. He owned a house in Connecticut.
Yes.
So then he was like, it should be out here. That was it. But I didn't know that about the Louisiana thing. That's very interesting. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
what's the Louisiana
again, that
accent?
Just gives you...
Is that
don't
like
try
Southern?
One. I don't know. Maybe some of our American listeners could email us about what the Louisiana accent is like. Shall I ask you your third question then? Your third and final question?
Yes.
Okay, Tom. Which Broadway legend said... Oklahoma is about a picnic. Carousel is about life and death.
Got no clue about this one. I'm not going to lie, no clue. I'm going to take a punt. I'm going to say Stephen Sondheim.
Correct.
Whoa, yes! He's done it! Yes!
You knew that! Did you just do that thing
genuinely,
again?
Genuinely, hand on heart.
Did you know... Mm-hmm. He has
Rodgers
got his hand on his heart.
Rodgers and Hart. I didn't know that. I had no idea. However, I did know that he went to see it and he cried. I mean, it must have affected him pretty largely for him to come out with a little phrase.
Well, that's
like
the
that.
Thing. I mean, there's a great little quote, isn't there, from Richard Rodgers when someone comes up to him and says something about how You'll
oh,
never
yeah,
walk alone made him
yeah,
cry
made him
or
cry.
Made her cry. And he just goes, yeah, it was meant to.
It was meant to. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah,
I love
so
that.
So cool,
it's
isn't
like,
it?
Well, yeah,
that's such a mic drop. It's crazy that also Stephen Sondheim was just there and he's still alive.
I know, isn't that, is, that is
mad.
I don't know how old he is. Right?
90. He turned 90 last year.
He's had quite the life. But we'll get on to him another time. This is Rodgers and Hammerstein's time.
Rodgers and Hammerstein.
That's good.
Thank you.
What I did was terrible. Your final question. Here we go. Hoppy. What was Bambi Lynn forced to do in the opening Broadway night? What was Bambi Lynn forced to do on the opening Broadway night?
On the opening Broadway night? Oh.
Yes, the opening night on Broadway, I suppose I should say.
Do you mean, are you talking about the...
I'm just saying, what was she forced to do? She was forced to do something, which I'm sure she found incredibly taxing.
Oh, is this when she had to break character? Because everyone was going mad for how good she was.
Yes. Yes. So she had to break character because she'd just done the ballet and people were absolutely losing their marbles over it. Yeah. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
I mean, I'd love to know what exactly happened. I guess they just wouldn't stop clapping. I mean, I went to see Jagged Little Pill on Broadway.
Did you? I didn't know that. That's very cool.
Yeah, so I went to see that and there were like three standing ovations just throughout the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty pumped. I do think that's more of a Broadway thing. I just can't see that happening as much over here.
Once, you know? Over here, I've experienced it once.
Well, when was that?
And it was when Patti LuPone finished Ladies Who Lunch in Company.
Oh, yeah, that was mad, wasn't it?
Yeah, I saw that twice, and both times people just went absolutely crazy for it. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
I know.
She was so good in that. Just that face.
She was cool.
The intensity through the whole number.
I know.
Anyway, that's a different C. So we'll cover that another time. Great. Okay, so at the end of that... Oh, is that... That's it?
Tom, that's it. Tom, you got our first 3 out of 3, I think.
Did I?
I think so.
I think I did. Oh, that was all on that pun that I took on Stephen Sondheim. Also, that does mean I think that I'm ahead.
Well, yeah, because I didn't get 3 out of 3, and
I'm trying to be nice.
So
I am ahead. So I'm on 9. So Tom is on 9, and Getty, you're on 7.
No.
9, 8. Maths.
Thank you.
Maths. I teach maths as well. That's not good. What's your favourite song and why? Okay, so now is the time for our favourite song and why. hence the little sing-song there.
Yeah, who wants to go first? Do you want to go first? Oh, no, you went first last week. I'll go first this week.
Okay.
You know what? I found it... I wrestled with myself a bit because I was like... There are 3 songs that I really do love from this show, and 2 of them are kind of like the ones you would guess. Mm. And then I thought, which is the one that I actually love the most, and it's definitely Soliloquy.
Yeah, that's the one that connected with. I think because of what I said earlier, it's so ingrained. The things it discusses are so ingrained. It unlocks something as a guy when you're listening to it. Like, I don't know about you, but I felt this kind of weird duty.
Yeah,
when he's singing about the girl, when it changes and it's like protecting the girl, and it was weird because I was like, why am I feeling that? Because he should feel like that for the boy. Why does the boy, the boy in that song, is an excuse for him to use the boy as basically like a proxy to basically brag about himself?
Exactly.
And I found so weird that is how a son was seen in.
Yeah,
you know,
I know. And then it's the way that it even in the change, when he goes from thinking about the boy to it being a girl, it's the fact that it hadn't even crossed his mind it could be a daughter. Hadn't even crossed his mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, in the slightest, until that moment. And then he goes, oh, hang on, wait a second. What if it's a girl? And then he's scared. He's scared of it being a girl because he's like, I don't know what to do. And then he launches into this like beautiful melodies about protecting her and loving her unconditionally. And you're right. It's like, why doesn't the boy get that as well? Why is it the boy has to be
why
as big as a tree,
as you
said earlier?
Why is the life he leads now
president
good enough for the boy, but not good enough for the girl?
Girl, I know, it's strange, isn't it? But musically, I mean, it's so interesting. I think musically you'd have to kind of give Roger some credit, though. Actually, the music is the same for the bit when he's talking about having a girl before he launches into the whole, you know, big melody, and the beginning of the boy. It is that trepidatious kind of music. It's that kind of really slow, tentative. So it's kind of similar. You do get the kind of, maybe he is just as scared as if it's a boy. It's just that because of the way society was, etc., he knows how to deal with a boy. Do you know what I mean? So he sees the girl as like the actual change in attitude, because it's like, well, hang on, I'm not good enough because I don't know how to deal with a girl. So I need to change, because what if it is a girl? You know? And the fact that it ends up being a girl is obviously great storytelling, because then that's what ends up being his redemption.
Well, it's that thing anyway, of, you know, Chekhov says, don't put a gun on the piano in Act 1 if you're not going to fire it in Act 3. I think. He says something like that.
Well, I don't know. That sounds very profound. You should have just said that. You said that.
Yeah. That would have been nice, wouldn't it? No, I think someone told me that. I can't remember who.
But no, it's true. It's true. And I think what Rogers is so, so good at, and does it like throughout the whole show, the music is always totally in tune with the mood that the music is trying to get across. Like every single bit of music paints the picture just as well as the lyrics do at every single turn. It's
I was thinking about this because last week you said to me, I think all the week before, you said something about how basically how I focus on the words. I realized how much I do that, and I don't really listen to the music. So I really tried this time to listen to the music as opposed to the words. And I was like, I know this sounds ridiculous, but it suddenly clicked. I was like, wow. I think I'm so used to, I work with people and they come up with a tune and it seems so effortless, but like to construct a song like that and to make it sound so beautiful and so right with the words and so right for the moment, it's actually just, it's just so rare. And
but it's not even like you get it, obviously these days you get it in large moments. You get it for 90% of a score. You might get it for 80% of a score. You might only get it for 5% of a song. But Rogers does it 100%, 100% of the time. Like, it's always totally bang on for what he's trying to get across. Like, it's one of those things where actually I could listen to that music without the lyrics and understand what's going on all the way through. All the way through, you know.
Any other honourable mentions? Can I do these?
Yeah, of course you can.
I'll have a go.
Go on then.
If I Loved You.
Oh, yeah.
The first
time
I heard that was in an audition for GSA, and Matt Hayden sang it, our friend.
Did he? And oh, good lad.
He's got an incredible voice. So it was going to sound good anyway. But he literally sang it and he sat down and the girl next to me, I'm not joking, turned her head to us and she went, oh, off.
Funny.
Junior's busting out all over. Now, I love that song.
Good fun.
But all I can think of now is Leslie Uggams singing it.
What?
Have you seen that video?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You've not seen Leslie Uggams. She is. It's a like a tribute to Hammerstein, Rodgers and Hammerstein, and they do. She comes out to sing it, but she just forgets the words. So she's walking along, going, "June is passing out all over the meadow," and then she just starts going, "And the rapper really, really, and the waka really, really, and I whip about a dinner time the bill," and she just,
oh no,
doesn't, like none of it, it's gibberish. And it's on YouTube, and the person subtitled what she's saying.
Oh no!
And it's just like syllables.
Oh, we should have got her on for stage frights this week.
Yeah, and that is that. Wow, I mean that is a stage fright and a half.
Yeah,
I've got some honourable mentions for lines, which I loved.
Okay, go on then.
Yeah,
okay.
Just because these lines were great. Right, you've got.
Yeah. This is a whole nother level of nerd that I'm absolutely living for right now.
Yeah, I know.
Go on.
I know. I told you I stepped out this week.
Yeah, you have.
Someone said to Billy Bigelow, they were like, he goes, what, have you got any money? how much money do you have? And he goes, money thinks I'm dead. Which I thought was a brilliant line.
That is a good line.
I love that. And then when Billy goes, he goes to Jigger, he goes, I'm going to be a father. I'm having a son. And Jigger goes, my mother had a baby once. Which I just love.
That's a good line.
And then there's funny. There's a bit where Carrie is being picked up by Jigger in the forest, and Enoch sees them, and he's doing a fireman's lift, and she goes, "Look, Enoch, a fireman's lift," and he goes, "Where's the fire?"
Oh, classy dialogue you just don't hear these days.
No, it's just like those. It's like that Cole Porter kind of thing, like we were talking about, just kind of really smart, suave one-liners. Okay, so audition songs, Getty.
Yes.
I always turn to you. I feel like...
I don't know why.
I trust you, that's why. I trust you.
Oh, that's sweet.
And I've only been on one real proper panel. So
I've only been on like, I think two or three. I haven't been on that many.
I don't know why I said, well, you know, I feel like
Tom.
Yeah.
Give us an audition song, Tom.
From this. Mm. Obviously.
No, well, yeah, obviously. I mean.
From Wicked. I would go, I would say If I Loved You, purely because I've heard it done by the previously mentioned Matt.
Hayden.
God, I told you I forget my friend's names. Oh, isn't that weird?
Gosh.
My brain just doesn't work sometimes. So the previously mentioned Matt Hayden. And it works. But then I'm now thinking, and I think it was actually a 16-bar cut, so maybe it doesn't work.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you cut that song, you would only be able to do the male or the female, depending on obviously which part or whatever you're going for.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's quite a difficult one when you're singing a song that everyone knows is a duet to no one. That is already just a bit strange, I guess. I don't know.
He did a 16-bar cut. Or whatever cut he did worked.
Was great. Yeah. Well, then if there's a short cut. Yeah. And now it's time for Whose Line Is It Anyway? No, we're not going to start improvising our own musical. But instead, each week, one of us will give the other a line from the show and they have to guess who said it. And this week, it is my turn to read out the line and for Tom to guess. There isn't really a specific reason why we do this other than just fun for us. There's no prize, is there?
No, this doesn't count towards the quiz, so...
It doesn't. But, you know, it's just a bit of fun for us, really. Yeah.
And for the listeners at home.
Well, we hope, anyway.
Hate this.
Okay, they might hate this, in which case, sorry but it's happening. Here is my line. Are you ready? I really like this line. Talking about honourable line mentions earlier, this would be up there for me.
I'm ready.
Here we go. And two little people, you and I, who cares what we dream?
Ooh. I mean, my gut is to say little people. Well, maybe it's Carrie.
Should I read it again, or is that your final answer?
No, read it again. Go on.
Okay. And two little people, you and I, who cares what we dream?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Carrie.
Are you? It's Billy Bigelow.
You know what? I thought it was Billy Bigelow. And that's why I said one of my gut. I was like, it's going to be Billy. But I thought
and that's why you said Carrie.
Well, because I was like, why would he pick Billy Bigelow? That's the most obvious one.
Yeah, but that's why I did it. Because if you think about that little snippet of conversation, that doesn't really sound like him, does it?
Well, like that's also... Yeah, what was it? Little people.
Yeah, and two little people, you and I.
That's why I thought it was Carrie saying it to Judy.
Julie.
That's what I said.
I thought you said Judy.
No, I just can't pronounce words. That's why I'm not acting anymore. I can't speak.
How beautiful is that, though? Who cares what we dream? Who cares what we dream, Tom?
There we are.
We're off. Oh, I see the little recording sign at the top.
Yeah, very professional, isn't it?
Very professional.
Yeah.
I have really been enjoying listening.
Have you? That's that's very reassuring.
It makes me chuckle. But what makes me laugh the most is is Tom. This is, maybe this sounds mean, but you've chosen to do a podcast on a topic that you seemingly know nothing about.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm here.
Thank God Ged is there. Thank God Ged is on there, because he's just the one constantly correcting you.
Yeah. Oh, well, you say that, David, but unfortunately, Tom's just overtaken me in the quizzes of this episode. So, we can't.
Well, I think for the first two episodes, I was not really doing the work, and now I'm fully committed.
Yeah.
And it's
showing.
Well,
that's good.
So,
it's taken you a few weeks, but now you're getting there.
Well, I don't know anything about. Anything Goes was the one where I was just like, I don't know.
That was hard. I
don't know anything about this.
I actually rolled my eyes when you didn't say Patti LuPone. I was at work and I just went, for God's sake.
I didn't know. I didn't see. But, you know, that's because, like I say, I'm late to the party. Okay?
Don't try and make an excuse. There is no excuse for not getting Patti LuPone in.
Although he hasn't seen Sound of Music, so.
That's true.
What?
Yes, I can use that every time. Yeah, now.
How?
I
and this
never
is the topic
that,
you want
I've
to do a podcast on?
Yeah. I did say
although
that.
It is, even though a big chink in the metaphorical armor, it is still basically the only one I have seen. I know who Patti LuPone is, so that's good.
So, every week we invite somebody on to tell us a funny story that they have from the stage, a funny stage experience. May have happened to them, may have happened around them, may have happened to someone they know. Doesn't really matter. As long as it's funny, as long as it involves theatre, we're happy. And this week, we have David Ballard.
David Ballard!
Yes.
Oh, Giddy, it was you that does those voices.
Yes,
I thought it was Tom.
No, I can't do those. You're not a Dave, are you? Never a
Absolutely
Dave.
Absolutely not. Never.
No, you're a David.
Yeah. Weirdly, I had that conversation yesterday and how I've never, ever been Dave to anyone. People just kind of know not to call me it.
Yeah, I've never felt the urge to call you David.
No, Dave. Because in my phone.
There we go. That's gone well, isn't it?
I've never felt the urge to call you your name. No, I think people just kind of get the sense from my character that I'm not a Dave.
You're definitely not. I don't know why.
We've only just met, and I can confirm I haven't for one second thought to call you Dave.
No, right? Thank you.
So congratulations. You're living up to your name.
Yeah, which is a nice thing, really.
Yeah. Your parents did a good job.
They did. But also, it's a shame, Geddy, that we haven't met properly, because that's entirely Tomling's fault.
It is entirely Tomling's fault. It is, totally. I agree.
I just wanted to keep him to myself. That's all I can say. Yeah.
There you go. Well,
the best kept secret.
Sharon Nando's without him.
Well, the secret's out, because he's on the podcast. And he's going to tell us a bit of a
funny tale. Story. Yeah.
I've heard bits and bobs about this, hence why I asked you on. But it is quite funny.
Yeah.
And it does involve another C.
It does. I was in cabaret playing MC. So it's endless. Ooh. I know. Although after listening to other people's, I feel like this. Mine doesn't involve any bodily fluids or anything, so I feel like I'm going to be a major letdown.
No, never.
Don't worry.
Never.
Absolutely.
Just,
not.
You know, commit, tell it with some gusto. It's
go from the heart.
Yeah.
Well, it was, I think it was opening night that this happened. So it was the night that a problem, maybe a technical issue, would occur. And it was very early on in the show, and it's the bit where we're kind of a few scenes in and it's New Year's Eve. And all of a sudden after the opening number or so, the kind of mid scene, all of a sudden there's just this like buffering down, and every single light in the theatre just turned off straight away, and we were plunged into darkness. And I was stood at the back waiting to come in, and I obviously saw that suddenly there were no lights on, and everyone just kind of carried on as normal, as if suddenly it was a radio show. And I was thinking, we can't just like not acknowledge that there's a major problem here. So it got to my bit to come on, and I was like, well, if any character in this show can like make a joke of this, it's probably this one. Mm-hmm. So I think I came forward, and I was doing like a line about it was like the final countdown to midnight had happened. So we kind of got through, and still the lights weren't on. And eventually they flickered back, and everyone was a bit like, what? It was probably about a good minute that these lights were turned off. And it turns out that someone had been in the wings, and they'd like leant against the wall. And in doing so, they'd managed to flick off a plug socket that controlled the entire electricals for the entire lighting board. So genuinely, they just lost complete power to the theatre. And they realised that this was not a good place to be running the lights from. But we were mid-show, so they were like, OK, we'll get through the show and we'll move the plug point tomorrow. But so they started gaffer taping up the plug socket in an attempt to like make sure that this didn't happen again. Mm. And in doing so, they just flicked the switch once more. And about 3 minutes later, it was just... And this was in the middle of another lengthy scene. And it was just, oh, well, clearly the lights don't work very well in mid-war Berlin. And it was a nightmare.
Probably true.
I was about to say, it's probably quite method, actually, isn't it?
That it happened. Was incredibly method. And yeah, it wasn't the best.
See, again, it's not really, you know, you're again, sort of the saviour of the mishap.
Yeah, I thought that when you were talking to Lumiere.
Ashley,
I have to say that spending 5 minutes to wheel a cart onto stage and not thinking, okay, maybe they'll just like carry the cup on or something else to break this chip. I was shocked.
How long were you in the dark?
I reckon the first time the lights went out, probably about 90 seconds before.
That's a long time.
Maybe 2 minutes while they were searching for, because they didn't know why it had gone out. I think at first they thought there was like a power cut or something, but then they realised that the sound was still working, and they like, I think they were like following the wire from the.
Everyone was just shouting, "Chip, chip."
Yeah, I just started looking around for a small child in a costume.
Thank you so much, David. Thank you.
It was an absolute pleasure. As a keen fan of the podcast, it was really exciting to come on in the early days, in these formative episodes, like ABC, and I'm there.
You are your original cast.
You are.
Oh, really, your workshop. Okay. No royalties for you, though. No royalties.
Yeah, when they make the Disney Plus movie version, there won't be any cutoff there.
Instantly downgraded from original cast to workshop.
No,
that was too quick.
Both. There we go.
Yeah, no, workshops to original cast. Don't worry, he did such a good job, we kept him on. God, this analogy's gone on quite far. This metaphor
far too long. We were meant to be green.
Now let's close the curtain on that analogy.
And on David.
Say thank you.
Goodbye, David.
Bye.
Oh, I feel bad for closing off the call like that.
That wasn't very listening nice, back. Was it? You're welcome back anytime, David. Don't listen to Tom.
Sorry, David.
Don't listen to Tom.
It's fine. We're friends. we're colleagues.
Tomling has no friends. He merely has colleagues. Just colleagues.
Just colleagues.
What is it with our friends and just being like constantly in shows where people are out to not tell them about the hazards and what not to do before shows? The tech team
just have decided, probably we let someone know about that, but nah, they'll figure it out on opening night. I'm just a bit surprised none of this came up in the dress.
Yeah. Well, that's the show this week. Yet another...
Yeah, that was C.
That was C. Yet another go on the merry-go-round that this podcast is.
Yeah. Fantastic. I really enjoyed that one this week.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't think I would.
I've had such an emotional response to this, listening to it. Genuinely. Yeah. I really, really have. I don't know why, but it got to me. It's got to me in a good way. And it means, as Richard Rodgers said, when someone said to him, that song made me cry. You know what, mate? It was meant to.
So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed the show. Just like every week, if you have a stage fright or a comment or anything, really, just want to chat, feeling a bit lonely during lockdown, send us an email, showshowpod@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at show_show_pod. I've been Tom.
And I've been Geddy. And that was Carousel.
Bye.
Goodbye.